Dave Moore on Today FM.
Now, I am absolutely thrilled to say I am joined by the brilliant Dermot Kerwin and the inimitable Stephen Knight here, the creator of House of Guinness, also many other things. House of Guinness needs a little bit of explanation, I think. It's going to be your favourite new drama, I'll tell you that much. It is absolutely brilliant. But have a listen to the trailer, and this will give you an idea of what's going on when I have a conversation with these two now in a second.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to mourn the death of a man who brought peace and prosperity to the people of Dublin. And of course, our thoughts and prayers are most of all with Sir Benjamin Lee Guinness's four children.
Yes, the four children are the focus of House of Guinness. How will they cope after the death of their father and everything they inherit and don't inherit? There's lots going on here, lads. Dermot, Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Congratulations on House of Guinness. This is fabulous. Now, I'm lucky enough to have seen the whole thing because I got early access to it. It is just brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you happy with it?
Oh, my God. Yes, very happy. It's really exciting.
That's so good. Honestly, it is. Stephen, obviously, you've written and created so many things, but am I right in thinking this is a bit of a home from home? Did you start in writing commercials in radio?
I started writing commercials in radio, I can't remember when, at Capital Radio.
Capital Radio,
at an agency first, then at Capital. And that was the days of when you used to edit tape with a razor
with
blade.
With a razor blade and sellotape, yes.
Loved it.
And was radio something that you loved, or did you just happen to wander because you loved the writing and creative side of it and just happened to get to radio?
A job came up when I was working in the shoe shop for writing commercials, so I thought I'll do that. And radio's a great training ground. It's got to be 30 seconds. You've got to get all that information in, and you've got to entertain at the same time.
He's right, you know. I've been trying to get out of my training ground for 25 years. I'm still stuck here. I don't know what I'm doing. Dermot, this is incredible. At what point did this fella reach out, or did someone reach out to you and say, Ms. Kerwin, would you be interested in playing Auntie?
Okay, so this is like the dream job.
Okay.
So for years, I've watched Stephen's work. Mm. And this will embarrass him, but it's one of those things that you watch and you go, if there ever is an acting god, would they ever just give me a job in one of his shows?
In one of Stephen's things, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So Tom Shankland, who's our producer and director, he had worked with me years ago on a BBC show called Hearts and Bones.
Oh, yeah.
And then he saw me in the Jodie Foster True Detective, mm-hmm. Night Country, and he went, oh, do you know, Derval would be great for Aunt Agnes. And then the offer came through. Now, normally you go on tape for things and,
sure.
and you go through
sure,
the process.
Yeah.
So it's deeply flattering when someone says, here's the job, would you like to come and play? And I was like, yes, I
wow.
would. And the great thing, as you know, it's a fictionalized character.
Yes.
So there's so much opportunity to play with this woman, and she's formidable. But I love her.
Well, let's talk about it without any spoilers. Obviously,
we'll always say
there'll be no spoilers on this show for anything. We never do spoilers. But let's talk a little bit about Aunt Agnes, because she has a very important role. How would you describe her to our listeners who haven't seen a second of this yet other than the trailer? What's her kind of her main thrust in this?
Look, her main thrust is that she is rooted in the Victorian ideology of the time, which is that her raison d'etre is to make sure that her family marry well. And by well, it's not money, it's political power.
Political power, yeah.
It's aristocratic blue blood, and that's what she wants to ensure. And I think a lot of mammies out there will recognise that.
Yeah.
It's very important. Everybody wants a power couple.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's why I really like her. So there's a contemporary flair to it. You know, I don't think that's ever going to go out of fashion.
No.
Right?
But she's great as well, though, because she has this power where she's steering the family in certain ways. But then she's also, there's a moment where, at one point, she goes to the shops and buys something with coins. And this is a revelation to her that, oh my goodness, I've done this thing. It's just so brilliant.
Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah.
She is so entitled, that she is so privileged, that she has had servants and people to do that for her. And she's engaging with the poorer classes.
Imagine.
And they have this thing called money. And you buy buttons. And it's fantastic. And I think that's the humour.
Yeah.
That she can't see. They are preposterous, really.
Yeah.
But there's something really brilliant about the writing. Stephen, my boss, thank you very much.
Yes, there is,
but
Stephen.
Genuinely. And I just also think we mustn't forget that this family that she's trying to direct, because her brother has died, mm-hmm. and actually given her very little power, she is, they're like herding cats.
Completely.
Can we just
say that? Wild.
They are wild, free, just like youth should be. All political movement, all change has come from the younger generation. Mm-hmm. So she's a necessary, I think, contrast to remind an audience, yes, you may relate to these people, but they're very rooted in the history, and the history has rules and regulations that you have to follow.
And Aunt Agnes is there to police that. Stephen, why this story? I mean, there are so many things you could write. Why did the story of these four Guinness children appeal to you so much?
I love Guinness itself, which was
write about what you love.
Yeah, exactly. Write about what you know.
Yeah. You know it intimately.
But I was invited to take a look at the Guinness family from beginning to now, and every generation throw up these remarkable characters, this incredible theme that runs through this family of two things going on at once. They want to become part of the aristocracy. They want to be accepted. They're always rejected because they're in trade. So they want that. But at the same time, there's this pull towards writers and artists and poets, and they make mistakes and they do very silly things and they put themselves in jeopardy, and
yes,
they're very
they
flawed. And it seems to be throughout every generation. And I looked at the origin story, which is great, but 1868, the reading of the will of Benjamin Guinness, for me, was the starting gun for a drama. So when this will is read, without any spoilers, the consequences of the will are what take us through the first series.
Yeah, definitely. And I like the way you say first series, because I know there's got to be a second and there's got to be more. Whether he's allowed to say it or not, I don't know, but there has to be.
I'll say nothing.
I might squeeze your arm on a few things. Some of our listener questions are flying in on 087-4100-102. So Stephen, let me put this one to you. Mm-hmm. It's from Justine, who is a Dublin tour guide. So she says, I need to keep the BS to a minimum, please, when I'm walking around. I ask Stephen, as the writer of the new Guinness programme, is it historically accurate?
In parts.
In parts, yeah. It says at the start, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That they're based on real people.
Exactly.
But that you've written a story around some of the truths.
And around things that happen. So it's like stepping stones of real events that actually happened. And then, you know, I feel it's my job to try and work out why those events happened, what everyone felt. The accuracy that I'm most interested in is the characters, to make sure the character is who that character probably was.
Yeah.
And then you can play around.
Well, you definitely can feel that accuracy as well, because of course the four Guinness children were four real children. They were four real people. The cast that you've cast for this, of young, not only Irish, but English and Welsh and Scottish and loads of different nationalities of actors, but they are so brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
And Dervla, as a more experienced actor, I might use that term, what were these ones like? Were they showing up like, you know, not a care in the world? And
No. They are the most hardworking, industrious, kind, generous, fun. We had fun.
Brilliant.
But they're brilliant. And they were respectful to everyone. So I got to hand it to them, because they had a lot to do and they do it brilliantly. It was effortless watching them. And I, by the way, just because I'm the eld one in the show.
I use the term more experienced.
It's all right, darling. It's all right. I understand. But just because I am the eld one doesn't mean that, you know, you can't learn from these younger generation. And they got so many ideas, and we talk about the process. So we would sit around and talk about things. So,
you can pick things up there.
I take my hat off to them. They're brilliant.
The music is also incredible, by the way. So, again, it's not a spoiler, because you'll hear this even in the trailer and stuff, but you've used modern Irish music, Stephen, in this. And I think the pitfall with that potentially could be that something doesn't fit. At no point, whether it's Mary Wallopers, whether it's Fontaines, whether it's Kneecap, whatever you've chosen, it sits and is perfect. For what is happening? Like, Kneecap is a scene in New York with Byron, one of the brilliant. Remember King Joffrey in Game of Thrones?
Yes,
young Beeson, he's in there, and he's incredible. Mm. But he's being chased through New York, and Kneecap kicks in, and I'm just like, this is perfect. And if it was some kind of late 1800s piece of music that was a bit traditional art, it would also work, but it wouldn't have the impact that it has here. That was a very conscious choice, right?
Yeah, I mean, using contemporary music, it feels as if it's kind of a bridge between the piece that you're writing and the audience, because it gives people permission to feel that very modern emotion.
Yes.
But, you know, my contention always, like with Peaking, with everything, is that even if it's 100 years ago, more than that, people are the same. People have the same feelings, emotions, jealousy, love, hate, their flaws, their mistakes. And so what I want to do is to have an audience recognise characters who lived a long time ago and understand that they're the same as them. And music is almost like cheating. It's like that, and the people who chose it, by the way, are much cooler than I am. But that was that's the philosophy of it.
Well, they did a great job, absolutely. Now, everybody is texting me in asking about Peaky Blinders and the film and all. So he's not listening right now. Did he tell you anything on set?
Oh, not. I really? I wouldn't dream of asking him anything.
But it's very generous of him then to decide that today is the day that Stephen Knight will reveal whatever he can reveal about Peaky Blinders, the movie. What do we know, Stephen?
What we know is it's done.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's going to be fantastic. It's got an incredible cast. And you'll have to wait.
Come on. Hang on. Time period. Do we know it's World War II?
Yes. Beginning of World War II.
Beginning of World War II. Okay.
I'm really bad at this, by the way, so you probably trip me up. But yeah, beginning of World War II.
He only wrote it. He can't remember.
Exactly. Can't remember anything. No, definitely not. And look, your connection with Irish actors, obviously, Cillian and Barry and everyone that's been in all the stuff you've done, but now this set, I believe it wasn't shot here, unfortunately. A lot of it was shot in Liverpool and London, whatever. But this connection, for example, with Dervla, with the other Irish actors who are now coming into this, what is it, do you think, about Irish actors? And you don't have to be super nice to us, you can be honest about it, but why would you have such a connection with Cillian or Dervla or Barry or whoever to figure out that, no, this is who this character, this project needs?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because when you're doing it yourself, you don't notice your own patterns and your own trends. But then people say, you do a lot of stuff that involves that. And you say, oh, really? Actually, you're right. Yeah. And sometimes it's because the story requires it. Like with Peaky, you know, the true stories that I based it on, there is a lot of Irish elements there and within the family and Romany elements. So that was there for that. And then this story came along and it's such a great, compelling story. And there is also, when I think about it and analyse it, that what I like to do most is write dialogue.
Right.
That's the reason I do what I do. And there's something about the Irish vocabulary or the way of speaking that I find very easy to write, and it's very easy to make it sound clever.
Okay.
Somehow.
Right.
So I do enjoy writing for Irish characters, but I only know that because people have pointed it out to me.
Yeah, okay, so it's an instinctive thing from you, but then other people see the pattern.
Yeah.
And do you feel that, Dervla, when you're working with him, that, you know, this dialogue is where the magic
razor
is?
Razor sharp.
Yeah.
And it's also historically accurate.
The way they talk.
Yeah, and remember, we're playing sort of Anglo-Irish, which is a very difficult hybrid Irish person. Mm. And we had a great vocal coach to kind of sort of get that sound that's very recognised, I think, in Ireland.
Absolutely.
But maybe not abroad.
No.
So it's a very strange sound, but it's a beautiful mixture of those posh British vowels, but
with the Irishness.
Yeah, and these people definitely recognise their Irishness, but are very linked to the Empire.
Yeah.
But I had these scenes and I read them and it leapt off the page for me. So I think Stephen's not being very fair to him. I think he has a terrific musical ear. And I hear the music in his writing.
In the writing, yeah.
And it's there. It's absolutely, unequivocally, it's there.
You won't tell us about Peaky Blinders other than what you tell us, but is it true you're writing the next Bond film?
Yes. The only word I can use in response to that is yes.
No, hang on. Well, then here's another question which you can answer. If you are writing a new Bond film, does that mean you know who the next James Bond is? Because you couldn't possibly write Bond if you didn't know who you were writing for, Stephen.
The only word I can use in response to that question is no.
I'm trying to judge this fella's eyes.
You are really good at your job.
I'm not getting it today.
No,
not from him. I need to get him later on tonight, but 11 o'clock he'll tell me and I need to know. Listen, to both of you, congratulations. This is phenomenal. It's going to become everybody's next favourite drama. I said it at the start and I genuinely believe it. I think it's absolutely brilliant. It's called House of Guinness. It'll be coming out on Netflix very soon. Please do not miss the chance to watch this. It is phenomenal. Stephen, thank you so much for coming all the way across and telling us all about it. Dervla, great to see you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a million, guys.
Dave Moore on Today FM.